Guys, there's four rows of stuff at Walmart and Target. You're not too late. You can still get out there. But yeah, we're 4 days away. So we're actually in a series on love around this season of love. And so we're going to jump into that. We're going to, the series is called Love Actually. We're talking about how the world sees love and actually what the Bible says is love. And so let me recap last week because it's really important. Last week was very foundational and we'll reuse part of that today. But we asked, what is love anyway? We sang about it. And we kind of said the world says love is experience. But we said the Bible says love is actually God. And here was a scripture verse out of 1 John. It says, "Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God." Not this knows God like this knows God. "But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love." And we switch that around. Love is God. It's an equal sign. God defines what love is. The word there used is agape love. This is a way that God loves, and it tells us we are to love like that. And if we love like that, we're his children, and we know him. And then, so we say, okay, so we need to love like God, right? So that's pretty big. So we started with one part of that. Love is selfless, is what we talked about last week. Love is selfless. And we finished with saying, love actually says, I am third. God, others, me. I am third. So we talked about that love of God that we need to return to others and to him is selfless. So this week, we're going to talk about the next aspect of this agape love of God. Selfless is a good start, but let's talk about the world and let's talk about how the world thinks about love. So here's some stories, some bad dad jokes, whatever. Here's one story where a son and his dad were driving, and they come upon a church, and there's actually a procession leaving the church from the wedding. And the son says, "Daddy, why are all those cars beeping their horns?" And the dad says, "Because there's a wedding happening, son." And he says, "But Dad, aren't horns a warning signal?" And his dad says, "Exactly, son." There's another one that says, "What's the difference between love and marriage? Love is one long, sweet dream, and marriage is the alarm clock." Man who was really lonely, so he posted an ad on a popular website. The ad simply said, "Wife wanted." He was surprised the next morning to find this is a great kick up towards sermon notes here on the back of your worship guide, and you can follow along with us. Here's the thought. The world says love can be fickle and fleeting. Love can be fickle and fleeting. Fickle is a lot like the big word we learned last week, mercurial. Fickle means changing, but it's in regards to loyalty. Fickle is changing in regards to loyalty. Fleeting just means it's short-lived. It's temporary. And did you know that 15% of the people today find their mate online? I'm not against that. But what was interesting was the next statistic, that they found statistically on these online dating sites that women commonly lie about their weight, their physical build, and their age. Men lie about their age, their height, and their income. Did you know the median age today, well, this is 2 years ago, 2017, the median age for marriage is 29.5 for men, and it's 27.4 for women. Did you know in 1970 that was 23 for men and 20.5 for women? We're getting married almost a decade later. Divorce rates still stay in that 50 to 51% range. And they will tell you, you look at statistics, that Christian divorce rate is still 50 to 51%. I want to tell you that is a lie. 70% of America says, "I'm Christian," whether they go to church or do whatever. If you look at any of the studies by Barna or the Pew Research Group, who look at evangelical behavior in Christians, that means they attend a church. It's not being in this place, but they are in a community of faith. And they show fruit, born again, that their lives are changed by who Christ is. Do you know what the divorce rate is amongst that percentage of Christians? 30%. The world shows love is fickle and fleeting, but the Bible tells us something different about love. The Bible tells us love actually is faithful. Love actually is faithful. Love is God, God is love. We are to love like that. Then the next characteristic we want to focus on is God's love is faithful. If His love is faithful, so should our love be faithful. The first scripture verse reference you have there is Lamentations 3, 22 through 23. The scripture reads, "The faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is His faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning." The faithful love of the Lord never ends. So what does faithful mean? I mean, what does that word really mean, to be faithful? I want to share with you the next scripture, which is Deuteronomy 7, 9, which gives us two words in here that are a clue that'll help us. Deuteronomy 7, 9, it says, "Know therefore that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love Him and keeps His commandments to 1,000 generations." Any mathematicians here? It's a long time. What does faithful mean? Right here. It's steadfast. It's not fickle. It's constant. It's not fleeting. Up to 1,000 generations. It's that constant. And it's enduring and committed no matter what. So, you know, we can read this Bible and say, well, God's love is faithful, and I see those words, but does it really mean God is faithful? There's a second word in there that says it is. The word is covenant. Covenant. God's faithful love is seen in covenant. When you understand His faithful love in covenant, you understand how faithful He really is. What is covenant? Covenant starts with God. Covenant means that the one who promises something always comes through. And God does that in covenant. It starts with Him. And His promises always come through, not because of the praise He gets, not because of what He might get in return from us, not because of any of that, but the integrity of His heart is why He comes through. His nature compels Him to keep His word. In covenant, then, in a relationship in covenant, we are only called to two things. We who are blessed by that love and that kindness are to love Him. And out of that love, we find our obedience to His commandments. That's covenant. Covenant is the entire framework of this book. It is a skeleton of this book from page 1 to page 1086. Covenant, you know this book is divided into two testaments, the Old and the New Testament. Testament is a Latin word that means covenant. Covenant. So you can actually change those words out. It is the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. That's perfectly fine to say it that way. This Bible is divided into the Old Covenant and New Covenant. The whole thing is about covenant. God's promise is faithful love. So I want to go through a list here of all the covenants. These are just the major covenants to show you how His love moves and stays steady, right? So the first covenant that we have in the Bible is the one He had with Adam. Adam, here's everything I created. Here's creation. Here is Eve. Here's your responsibility. And here is a tree. Stay away from it. But there's a provision if you don't. That's His love. So start with creation. The next covenant God made was with Noah. The world was so wicked and turned so completely away from God, so wicked that God wiped out life on the planet, human life on the planet, except for one remnant who was faithful, Noah and his family. And God gave us a rainbow to say He would never, in His promise, His covenant, do that again. I know every spring we get excited, storms come, and we all, those beautiful Flint Hills, we take those pictures of the rainbow. But when you take the picture of the rainbow and say, isn't God's creation beautiful? No, don't take it and say, isn't His promise so faithful? His promise is still there. That is a sign of his promise. And then we have the covenant with Abraham. So we got creation, we got the promise to never destroy life and to keep his people moving and moving forward. And then we got Abraham. And Abraham, in the covenant, what he did with him is he says, I'm going to make you the father of all nations. I'm going to show who I am through you to all nations. And he gives him a hint. There's going to be a group of people, his special people, Israel, to start that process with. And we see that in a covenant of love with Abraham. And then we got the covenant with Moses, the Mosaic covenant. Not only does that promise continue, but God establishes, he rescues them out of Egypt, and he establishes them as a holy nation of Israel to show the world who God is and draw all nations to him. The promise continues. And then we got the covenant with David, the Davidic covenant, where God says, David, you've been faithful, and I promise you a lineage that will keep your name going, but from your lineage will come a Savior of the world. That's my promise. He said, David, I promise a new covenant to come. And you look at all those, Adam, Noah, Abraham, Moses, David. Wow, God has not failed one covenant. They build on each other and they keep going. And God has not failed one promise in any of them. Thousands of years, thousands of generations, he has been faithful in covenant love. But there's one more, the new covenant, the New Testament. The new covenant we talked about in communion is Jesus, God's promise of faithful love, the promise of freedom and salvation for all those nations that he assembled together in his name. The new covenant and the final covenant. There are no more covenants, ladies and gentlemen. There is no need for another covenant. Jesus did it all. Now, do you see how God is faithful in covenant? Do you see how faithful his love is? So in covenant, we're called to love him back and be obedient to his commands. So before we do that, I think it's important we understand the difference we have here in our culture, the difference between contract and covenant. Love is not a contract. Love is a covenant. So let me kind of tell you the differences between a contract, because all of us, any of us in life, even as kids, we do contracts, contracts at school, contracts in youth group. By the time you move through life, you have so many contracts. Well, a contract is normally, obviously, a signed document. A contract exchanges goods and services with another. There's two parties involved. One party will do something based on the other. And it's usually made for a limited period of time. And these contracts have clauses that when one party violates or fails to uphold their side, it either dissolves the contract or there's penalties. That's a contract. Covenant's very different. Covenant is a relationship between two parties based on promises. It is permanent. It is not temporary. In a covenant, you don't have goods and services. You give yourself to each other in a covenant. In a covenant, this is a big one, when one party breaks the covenant, the other party continues to do what they promised. There are no outs, and you rely on confrontation and forgiveness to heal that covenant. You don't bail on it. In a covenant relationship with God, love and obedience go hand in hand. And I think to understand that, we struggle with obedience, right? It's easy to love, it's hard to be obedient. But let me understand, there's an order here I think that would help. First, you never really love someone until you overcome your fear of that person or your knowledge. Fear comes from lack of knowledge or lack of understanding. As long as you think of God as an angry deity, a cosmic killjoy, a wrathful policeman with a big stick who's out to get you, or an old senile gray-bearded man who put the world in motion and went on an internal break. If you see God that way, you don't know him. If that's how we see God, we do not know the God of the Bible. You're being stopped by a caricature that's written by our world. of who God is. The Bible clearly identifies him as a loving father. Moses refers to his promises as a covenant of love. So we have to know him first. How do we know God? How do we know God here? You get to know him in his word. You pick this thing up every day. You read it. You meditate on it. You find a good friend and you wrestle with it. Give it 5 minutes every day. If you aren't picking this up, I bet you have an image of God that's questionable. If you don't know his word, you're going to be tested about who God really is. We discover him here. Primary way, he gave us this word. So important for all of us. Make this a habit tomorrow. Get into his word so you know him. And walk with somebody. Be discipled, iron sharpening iron. Sit down with somebody and say, I'm wrestling with this. Don't wrestle with this thing on your own. It's hard. It's hard for a pastor. That's why I got Art here. He helps me all the time. Second is pray to him. Every day, multiple times a day, talk with him. Come to know his voice. Listen for answers. Watch him reveal himself. And once you really know God, and when you read this and you talk to him, you're going to fall in love with him. And when you love him, you're going to find it easy to be obedient because you understand. You'll find it easy to comply with his demands. And when you do this, you're going to walk in obedience to what he wants. You're going to trust the Father's heart when you can't see his hand. So that's covenant between us and God. I want to talk about one more angle of covenant, and it's about marriage. Marriage is a construct and a creation of God, and it is a covenant. It is not a contract. Yes, there is a civil law, and you sign some papers, but in a Christian biblical sense, it is a covenant. It is not a contract. And in that covenant, it is not between two people. It is between three persons. You, your spouse, and God. And when you realize covenant brings God into it, and he is the one who decides the covenant. Because in our world, we see marriage differently. We see it more as a contract, and we see it as disposable when one's not happy. And just like that, two souls sewn together as one are torn apart in pain. We are commanded to commit, to persevere, to restore and heal in our marriages. But let me tell you something. When you see unfaithfulness in marriage, I can guarantee you there was unfaithfulness to God first. When you see unfaithfulness in marriage, I can guarantee you there was unfaithfulness to God first. And we lost sight of the covenant. Unfaithfulness is not about sex alone. Unfaithfulness is any time we stop our commitment to each other. But a good marriage is a union of three forgivers. God, through Jesus, what we celebrated and remembered, we have been forgiven. He forgives us first, so why can we not forgive and struggle sometimes in our marriages? Isn't that covenant? A good marriage is a union of three forgivers who are open to change, moving forward, getting stronger. Some advice for our marriages. No matter where you've been, what you've gone through, doesn't matter. Past is a past. But let me encourage you, the minute you see stress fractures and cracks in the covenant of marriage, to seek help. Come to your pastor, come to a couple you trust who can give you wise counsel. Do not wait until your marriage is a three-alarm fire. And that's the way most marriages come through the door of the church, is a three-alarm fire. I was astonished the other day when a couple come in and they lay down that they're just, we're just off. It's like, hold on a second, where's the trauma, where's all? Nothing, we just feel like we're a little off. It's like, thank God you came in at this point. It's so much easier to make the adjustment there. Please get rid of your pride. Your covenant is holy. Last thing I want to talk about, let's wrap up about God's loving faithfulness and covenant and what it does for us. What does this covenant do? It's our last note. Faithful love sets free and guides to eternity. Faithful love sets free and guides to eternity. In Exodus 15:13, this is what the scripture reads. It says, because your love is faithful, you will lead the people you have set free. Because you are so strong, you will guide them to the holy place where you live. Moses wrote this as they're leaving Egypt, rescued. God got them out. They're heading to the promised land. And Moses looked back and he said, because your love is faithful, you've set us free. Because you're so strong, your love is so faithful, you will guide us to the holy place where we're all going to live. They actually sang this. It was a song they sang. They're so excited about it. Generations later, God sent Jesus to earth. God was keeping his promise of the new covenant. Jesus set us free. Because God's love is so faithful, he sent Jesus to set us free. Because he's so strong, Jesus is guiding, he's ahead of us, preparing a place, a holy place for us all to live. Husband and wives, those who are dating, you have a covenant in marriage. Same scripture. When your love is faithful, you set each other free, free in Christ. And your whole marriage is about that second line. When your marriage is strong, you will guide each other to that holy place. Men, your role is to present your bride to Christ, holy and perfect. Wives, your job is to present your husband to Christ when we meet him again, holy and perfect. Together, your marriage, you will find in a covenant with God that it will set you free. And we're heading to that holy place together. So let me finish with Judges 2:1. God says, I will never break my covenant with you. And he hasn't yet, and he never will. So let us all learn and grow to be faithful in covenant with him. Amen? Ushers, come forward, please, for the offering. Let's bow our heads together, please, as we worship him now in a time of offering. Heavenly Father, wow. I look at every covenant, I look at everything you've ever done. You have always been faithful. Your covenant shows us a love, a faithful love. And Father, we are to love like that. Help us understand covenant and how we see your love in covenant. Help us today. If we got struggles in our marriage, Father, let us be brave and come forward and work through those. And Father, if we've gone through hard things in life, divorce, things like that, heal us, restore us, and we still move forward in covenant with you. Father, our covenant with you is because we know you. Give us the grace this week. Give us the push of your Holy Spirit that we get into your word, get into talking to you so we know you. We know you, we're going to love you. And we love you, we're going to be obedient. Encourage this whole congregation and then to show that love to others. Jesus, thank you for everything you did on the cross. Thank you for the new covenant. Because of you, we have incredible hope. So we're giving back today. This is our offering. Our lives are our first offering, everything we can give to the mission of the church. Our tithes, our time, our leadership, our gifts. Father, you have us. We are yours in covenant love. Let your church be a bright light to the world. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Here is a video that shows our church and the faithful love of covenant.
Tomorrow morning, if you wake up and the sun does not appear, more than just my secrets, to carry
Yeah, that could get some real applause. Just have more?
Yeah, there's another video.
Oh, hey, sorry, there's another video. Hey, watch this video. That was a good setup, wasn't it?
Why is there Mexican vanilla in my dad's toolbox?
What are you doing?
I'm going to the toolbox for our Puerto Penasco missions trip over spring break.
Oh yeah, when is that again?
Sometime over spring break.
Do you know when spring break is?
Spring break.
Jackson, hello, snap out of it.
What?
I asked when spring break was.
Oh, it's March 11th through 15th.
You know, the last time on this fishing trip, I was able to give my hammer to one of the locals there, and it was so nice to be able to give something to them. So this year, my mom said I could take my dad's whole toolbox with me to give away. I think she said that because last time he did the laundry, he shrunk her clothes by 2 sizes. And I'm pretty sure he's going to forgive Valentine's Day this year.
I know how we can fix it.
Really? How?
He should bring her to our movie date night.
That's right. That fundraiser is a perfect idea.
When is that again?
It's Sunday evening, February 24th. We're showing the movie Indivisible, plus there will be a nacho bar and a silent auction. We will even have food and fun activities for children, too.
I have got to tell my dad about that. You cannot pass up a date night with a movie and food and free childcare.
Towards the end of this sermon series. And so we want you all to come because the youth are going to support that. It also helps support the mission trip where they're going to Mexico. If you look here also, there's a couple other things. As a reminder of Oasis this weekend, I think the registration is due today. You can contact this guy, Art Matheny. And also the Grapple Cookie fundraiser is next Sunday. That also, they have these monster-sized cookies, but that also does fundraising to help, a donation to help our kids get to camp this summer. So these are all good things to do. And then we also got Women's Encounter come up here March 15th, 17th. To our guests, please fill out this Connect card, drop it off at our Welcome Center out here. We have a gift for you, but we just want to connect with you and see if we can answer any questions. So you ready to go? Wow, come on, hey. God is faithful. Amen?
Amen?
And so let's go and build our faithfulness to Him in covenant love. Have a great week being faithful. Get out there and do it.